Don't change that dial. WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Do you like the way I said that? Listen up. You know, we're making an offer. You can't breathe Jesus.
We're going to renew your contract. And by the way, that was the renowned Dr. John Palmer.
This is the infamous Tony Schiffo.
Or rather, the unrenowned Dr. Anthony Schiffo. To show
the way. Drive Trevor crazy because we're going to keep on talking all of this music.
We're going to keep you on your toes, Trevor. You know that.
We mentioned last week he's probably saying one of these guys during it can't talk over the music. And Trevor, our engineer, is a Baptist minister, and he's our non-denominational person. So whenever we talk about a course religions, Trevor raises his hands. That's me. And we have a wonderful show today. It's on spirituality and life in God and being close to God and Eucharistic love. And and we have wonderful guests who will introduce themselves shortly.
And I'm so excited because we have guests that are kicking the tires. They're out there. They're evangelizing. And they love Jesus. And by the way, John and I are just two kids. We love with fire in our hearts for Jesus. We want to spread that love. We want to spread that love throughout Long Island, throughout New York State, throughout the United States, throughout the world if we could. And we're only asking for one convert a week. We're so humble. The apostles had 3,000 every time they spoke. So if you're a convert, we want to know about you.
And the converts were after, of course, any religion, but we're in particular after Catholics who have walked away from their religion. And we're after them because we're saying God wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. And he wants to call you back home. So that's what our show is about.
And that's our mission statement. Jesus wants to be part of our lives, every part of our lives, our personal life, our business life. Every aspect, he wants you and us to bring our problems to him because he is our brother, our big brother. So isn't that so beautiful?
And then that music in the background, even though we talk over poor Al Barbarino every week, that's Al Barbarino. That's not him singing now, but that's Al. And last week we didn't talk over him. We just shut him off. We turned him off.
But he doesn't mind because he loves us. I just had to mention one more thing. I would bet that most of us would say we're practicing Catholics, which means you go to church on holy days of obligation. If you don't mind, I'd like to say, stop practicing. Get in the game. Get in the game of Jesus. Just going to church is great once a week. But bring Jesus into your lives. Evangelize. Get in the game and start playing the game of Jesus.
You know, I'm not a practicing Catholic. I must admit that. I'm a recovering Catholic. And what that means is I'm recovering from a relationship with God in my head and now experiencing God in my heart.
And so let's bring Jesus into all our hearts. He wants to be there so badly. You said enough, Dr. Palmer.
We finished just in time with the music.
Sorry, Al.
why don't we let our guests introduce themselves? And sister, we'll start with you.
Well, good morning, John and Tony. I'm happy to be here. I'm Sister Joan Kellenberg. I'm, first of all, a child of God. I am a religious of the cynical. But my brothers, I want to say that I'm probably one more kid on the block who's wildly in love with Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ first loved me. I've been caught up in that love. And so I'm able to speak about that love through a spiritual ministry that our cynical sisters do all throughout the world.
That's wonderful. How about you, Joe?
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Are you also a kid?
I am. It's nice to be called a kid again.
I don't remember ever being a kid.
By the way, John and I just,
we're speaking
about ourselves.
Yeah. it really is great to be here. I'm so honored to be part of this. This is, I've been with the Archdiocese of New York. I work with the Archdiocese of New York, and it's been a great privilege for me to serve the church, to serve Jesus in that capacity. It's nearly 29 years now that I've been so blessed to be able to do that. And it's really exciting to be here because this is what the church is all about, bringing the message of Jesus to people wherever they are, bringing that invitation that Christ has for us to get to know him, to get to know his love, to love him back, and to be here and to be part of this effort to bring him to the people of Long Island is such a wonderful blessing, and I'm just honored to be here and to be a part of it this morning.
And we're honored to have you. And how about you, Peter?
Hi, good morning. My name is Peter Sterling, and I'm honored and blessed to be here.
We've got to stop. Hey, Tony, why are they honored? I don't get this.
We're honored.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
We are truly honored.
This is the Mutual Admiration Society. Go ahead,
okay.
Peter.
Because we all love Jesus. We have a base here.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of kids, I don't want to grow up. I think it's a great picture when we look at Jesus and he said, bring the little ones unto me. And, you know, to be part of that and be held in his bosom is like the best place you can be. I have my own business that I've been working as customs house broker for the last 3 years. It's strange because there are days that I worry about, you know, how we going to work, how we going to do receivables, how we going to do this, and I keep praying that, you know, I'm going to give it up to God and let him take care of it. And that lasts for, you know, maybe an hour, and then I wind up taking it back. And there are days that, you know, I go through serious stress, and I realize it's like, it's not my stress. If I leave it and let Jesus handle it for us, he does a better job than we can ever do. And then I worry about, you know, funds coming in, money collecting. And
you worry about things like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
I don't think you worry about that, Tony. I never worry. Sister, you don't worry about that, do you?
Let's see now.
But I find that when I go to the P.O. box or go to the mail and all of a sudden it's like God's laughing at me saying, you know, why were you worried? I got everything under control. And he always does.
But isn't it so wonderful to have Jesus as your CEO of your business, and you can push the worries off on him and put it into his hands?
That's an amazing feeling.
It absolutely
gives you tons of peace when you can actually realize where it comes from.
And you can talk with confidence, and you can negotiate with confidence because you know Jesus is behind you.
Absolutely.
So you know that what we're really saying. Joe, you're going to say something? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but isn't that really the hardest thing to do? At least for me it is. I always struggle, and I think Peter was just now touching on this a little bit, is getting ourselves out of the way and letting Jesus into our lives and really living what we profess to believe. I mean, I know for myself, there's so often I say this and I try to live it, but you know, then something happens and suddenly it's me and what I want, and then it's when I stop and say, okay, Joe, just move to the side, get out of the way, let God, let Jesus into your life. Listen to him, let him lead, let him take care of things. Things go better, but it's so hard sometimes I worry, you know, I sometimes get discouraged because I don't do a better job. And I just hope that people who are listening to us don't get discouraged or don't feel like, you know, they're doing something wrong if they don't always live up to it. Jesus is there. He's always there for us. And we just have to remember to let him in.
He's our rock. And that's what our song is going to be. Just the theme for the day. Jesus is our rock. This is Dana, and I'm sister, I'm playing this for you.
I rejoice in
I cannot tell you how grateful I am for that, John, because this song, more than any other song, just moves my whole body, my whole spirit, and frees me up to receive more and more of Jesus, more and more of his spirit, more and more of the Father's love. So I'm listening, but I'm moving, and I wish the people who are our listeners could see us all moving with the spirit of Jesus Christ.
And the sister's really rocking.
Now we're going to dance quietly. Listen to Dana.
Like my God.
Trevor, what do you say? Can I dance in there too? Okay.
You're right, sister.
Like my God. Boy, I'm getting hit today.
What am I going to do? They're attacking me. Trevor, help me. Turn off their microphones. You're the executive producer. You got to take it. If you're home, pick up the dance. Move on. We can't do it here because we're earphones.
Like my God.
Question.
Here it comes.
How can God be a rock in your life when you cannot see him or touch him? How can he be a rock in your life? You can't see him,
You can't touch it. This is not so much for you, but for the listeners. How can we help them to understand that God is alive and dwelling in them and is a rock for them? Anyone want to grab it first?
May I? Oh, am I allowed?
I don't know.
No, right, let's guess answer.
No,
let's guess
answer. Go.
Well, I think it's just a matter of opening our hearts and being receptive to Jesus and to God, because they want to tell us so many things and they want to give us so much advice, but all we need to do is to open our hearts, be receptive, let them talk to us. They'll find a way to communicate. Believe me, there's so many ways that Jesus communicates with us. We need to recognize it.
You know, you mentioned when Sister was there raising her hands, and charismatic people do that. They raise their hands. So I asked them, why do you raise your hands? And one woman had an answer. That's my antenna. And when I put it up like that, then Jesus can't be heard. We better get out of the way and let the others speak, though, too. Sister, how about you? How can God be your rock?
Well, as I listened to that question, John, I was reminded of a 30-day retreat, the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, that I made in 1983 down in our cenacle in Texas. And I was going through a difficult period in my life, really difficult. And I remember one morning spending about 3 to 5 hours on the floor. And I realized I was stretched out on the floor, prostrate, praying to Jesus, praying to him. And suddenly, it seemed to me that Jesus was a rock on which I was lying. I was no longer on the floor, on a rug, in Texas. I was completely sprawled out upon Jesus. Jesus was my rock. I remember pounding on the rock. I remember crying on the rock. I remember sobbing out loud on that rock and saying, I can't do this any longer. I was referring to my vocation. And I wept there for 3 or 5 hours on the rock until finally all of my emotions, all of my feelings, my passions were spent. And I simply put my head down on the rock and went to sleep. In all of this, I could feel Jesus supporting me, strengthening me. The rock beneath me was not hard, was not cold, was not inanimate. The rock beneath me was living, warm, gentle, tender, supportive. And Jesus was saying to me, I am your all. I am your rock. I will hold you up. It's better that you cannot do it. I'll do it with you and for you. Be at peace.
Amen.
Beautiful, sister.
Beautiful. Joe?
You really can get to know Jesus, can't you? I mean, it's up to us. I begin every day, I begin every prayer with, you know, open my mind and my heart that I may know and follow your will. And, you know, in a way I almost reject the premise of the question that we, you know, we can't see or touch him. We can know Jesus. Okay. We can know him. He can be a part of our lives. He can be with us at all times in every circumstance. He's with us. He never abandons us. He's there. He's knowable. He's our best friend. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our everything. And if we open our minds to him, if we welcome him into our lives, there he is. At every stage, at every turn, and we don't have to worry. We don't have to try and do everything on our own, because on our own we can do nothing. On our own, we're not going to accomplish anything. Even if we had all the money in the world and we had all the power in the world, if we had everything, we'd still have nothing if We don't have Jesus if he's not directing everything, if we're not putting our trust, our faith, our lives in his hands. So if we can do it, and it's not always easy, it's something that I try to do every day, and I know I don't live up to what I would like it to be, but if we try every day, if we begin every day with that resolve, if we remind ourselves of that through the day, it can happen.
It does happen. Peter, I know you, when we talked about it before, you said, gee, I have two thoughts in my mind. What were you thinking of with that question?
Well, I was thinking along the lines of St. Teresa of Avila, mm-hmm. saying that Jesus has no hands but mine, or no feet but mine. And how does he become a rock in our lives? We have to kind of realize that we're that reflection to others, that we have to affect others the way we want to be affected, and then we have to look and say, question was asked to me one day, have you seen the face of Jesus today? Mm. And I had to stop and say to myself, I wasn't even looking. Mm. You know, and it's just thinking along those lines opens up a whole new world to you, because if you look, everyone that you come in contact with is going to be the face of Jesus at one point or another, in one way or another. And as the Bible says, I think in Romans, if God is with us, who can stand against us? You know, so if we have to take our faith and believe and realize that we're responsible for our actions to others, and other people will have a similar effect on us. And all we have to do is be open to it.
About 20 years ago, I got into the practice of adoration and meditating and listening for God, and I've gotten words from him over the years, or at least I think they're from him. You know, my imagination gets going at times, and I just write what I hear. But over the past 20 years, I must tell you, I have almost over 100 books of meditations that have come into my heart, and they're not just for me, they're for other people. So I put them online and people can download them for nothing. But it's really a way of him talking to us. And I asked my wife one time, why would God do this? She said, because you spend so much time with him. You let yourself be with him and he'll talk to you. That's just what you're saying, Peter.
Jesus has said, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. And it's as simple as that. Just turn to Jesus.
And St. Teresa said, though, unless a person experiences that internally, they won't understand what you're talking about. And we have a lot of people listening, and we want to help them. How can they learn to experience God? Yes, set aside time. Yes, try to close down your mind. But, Sissy, got any advice for them? These are people who are at home saying, well, you guys are holy rollers, and you guys are already in touch with God. But I don't care. I'm mad at him. I don't want to talk to him, and I don't even believe he's there. What would you say? These are Catholics, non-Catholics, anyone.
John, in my own experience, I've found that when I talk out of myself, those are the kind of questions that I ask when I talk from my own perspective. Well, where is God? Are you listening? Are you there? And through the years, Jesus has taught me to go to the other side, to come into his heart, and to feel something of his desire, his immense, intense desire to reveal himself to me and to you, listeners, to show his love for me and to you, listeners. Listen to the heart of Jesus. Listen to his desire, to what he wants to do for you. So whenever I or others ask the question, God, what do you want of me? I change that question around to, from the heart of Jesus, this is what I want to do for you. I am the rich one. You are poor. I am the healthy one. You are sick. Let me give of my riches, my love, the knowledge of myself to you. Just let go and let me embrace you. It's not your struggle, beloved. It's my desire that will overcome and give you the peace that you desire.
Well, you got to think about that for a while, sister. How beautiful. Get your mind out of the way and open your heart and let God touch you. You know, we have saints that we talk about. And we have two more today, Tony, don't you?
Yes, we have two more. We have a twofer today. And it's St. Thomas and St. Bartholomew. And, of course, everyone knows St. Thomas as Doubting Thomas.
It's my middle name.
So St. Thomas was called to be one of the 12 apostles, just like Jesus called all his other 12 apostles. He didn't pick the rich, the famous, the powerful. He picked people like us, simple, hardworking, and loving. And when he gave the word, follow me, which is a thought-provoking word, they followed him. Most left everything and just followed him. And so St. Thomas was called to be one of the 12 apostles. He was a dedicated but rather rash follower of Christ. When Jesus said he was returning to Judea to visit his sick friend Lazarus, Thomas immediately convinced the other apostles to accompany him on the trip, which was dangerous because of the mounting hostility of the authorities. They did, and they witnessed Jesus lifting Lazarus up. He also accompanied Jesus to prepare a place for him, which he might come before they knew both the place and the way. Thomas pleaded that he did not understand and received the beautiful assurance from Christ that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Legend also records that he was not present when the resurrected Jesus showed the others the scars in his hands and feet. So he's best known for saying, unless I see for myself, I will not believe, and is often ridiculed for his lack of faith. However, he did witness Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Thus, maybe he should have thought that anything is possible with the Son of God. 8 days later, on Christ's second apparition, Thomas was gently invoked by his skepticism and furnished with evidence that he had demanded Jesus. Jesus invited him to put his finger in the holes in his hand and put his hand in his side. When doing so, St. Thomas exclaimed, my Lord and my God, thus becoming the first to acknowledge explicitly the divinity of Christ. St. Thomas is also mentioned as being present at another resurrection appearance of Jesus, when a miraculous catch of fish occurred. This is about all we really know about St. Thomas. However, it is said that after Pentecost, St. Thomas was sent to evangelize. He brought the gospel to India, where he was martyred. He is the patron saint of architects and declared the Apostle of India by Pope Paul VI in 1972. Now let's turn to St. Bartholomew. St. Bartholomew is mentioned only in the list of apostles. Some scholars identify him as Nathaniel, but clearly in the Bible of Mark, it is called St. Bartholomew. He's a man of Cana in Galilee, who was summoned to Jesus by Philip. This causes some confusion because of Nathanael, or the name of Bartholomew. Jesus paid him a great compliment. He's a true Israelite. There is no duplicity in him. When Bartholomew asked how Jesus knew him, Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. That was in John 1:48. Whatever amazing revelation this involved, it brought Bartholomew to exclaim, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. But Jesus countered with, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Bartholomew did see greater things,
He was one of those to whom Jesus appeared on the shore of the sea after his resurrection. There he had been fishing all night without success. In the morning, they saw someone standing on the shore, but no one knew it was Jesus. He told them to cast their net again, and they made such a great catch that they could not haul it all in. Then John cried out to Peter, "It is the Lord." When they brought the boat to shore, they found a fire burning with some fish laid on it and some bread. Jesus asked them to bring some of the fish they had caught and invited them to come and eat their meal. John relates that although they knew it was Jesus, none of the apostles presumed to inquire who he was. This, John notes, was the third time Jesus appeared to the apostles. Bartholomew, although we are confused with the fact that it's either Bartholomew or Nathaniel, we know almost nothing about most of the apostles. Yet, the unknown ones were also the foundation stones of the 12 pillars of the New Israel, whose 12 tribes now encompassed the whole earth. Their personalities were secondary, without which they being demanded to their great office, bearing tradition from their first-hand experience, speaking in the name of Jesus, putting the word made flesh into human words for the enlightenment of the world. The holiness was not an introvert contemplation of their statues before God. It was a gift that they had to share with others. The good news was that all were called to the holiness, being Christ's members by the gracious gift of God. The simple fact is that humanity is totally meaningless unless God is their total concern. Like Christ himself, the apostles were unceasingly bent upon bearing witness to the truth of God. They showed special courage in speaking the word of God with boldness before the people and their rulers. With firm faith, they held that the gospel is indeed the power of God to become salvation for all who believe. They followed the example of gentleness and respectfulness of Christ. And to Sunday's gospel, the Samaritan woman thirsts for understanding and acceptance, which are hard to find. But Jesus offers her cleansing water. There is no harsh judgment in their truthful encounter is tempered by loving acceptance of Jesus. Our faith, as well as the apostles, needs watering and acceptance. Jesus encounters each of us at the well and offers unconditional love. If you ask him, he will give you loving water as he gave his apostles. The things we thirst for is that God never stopped thirsting and that we are the objects of his thirst. His thirst, prayers, penance, and fasting should be our loving response to the thirst of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for us to come to him.
You know, I wonder about the apostles. They're just like you and me, aren't they?
They're
just like all of us. They just struggle to find God their way. And they have the privilege of seeing God and walking with him, but we don't have that officially. Sure?
Yeah, You hit on something that I think is so important, John, and especially for people who feel like I'm not good enough. I'm a bad Catholic. I haven't been to Mass in a few years. I haven't received the sacrament of reconciliation in some time. I'm not worthy. And we think about then the apostles. Tony, you said something when you were talking about St. Thomas that just resonates with me so much. He didn't believe that Christ had risen unless he could put his hand into the side and touch the holes in his hands and his feet. And here was someone who knew Jesus, who saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. And it got me thinking as well about Peter. Peter, the first pope, the rock upon which the church is built, and he denied Christ three times. And anytime I get discouraged about my own faith, and I would hope others, when they would get discouraged about their faith or get down, that they don't live out the gospel, they don't know Christ as they should, they would think back to these men who lived and walked and spoke and ate and witnessed the miracles, and their faith wasn't enough, but Christ was always there for them. They were never turned away. Christ was always there to welcome them. Peter denies him three times, and he's welcomed back. Thomas, unless I see for myself, and then gives that beautiful, beautiful declaration of faith, my Lord and my God. The same is true for us. It's Christ is always there for us.
Yes, and during Christ's crucifixion, every apostle except John hid, disappeared. John was the only one there. And still, Jesus came back and presented himself to them and made them his friends and do his job to evangelize. Isn't that so wonderful that our God can forgive the things that we do as human beings? I think so.
Yeah. I think when you listen to what Joe just said as far as people beating themselves up and saying that they're not good Catholics, we have to kind of realize, I mentioned earlier about being asked the question, have you seen the face of Christ today? The second part of the question is, have you been the face of Christ to anyone today? Mm. And the great thing about our faith is that Jesus forgives. And we're always left to get a do-over, to start over again.
Love again.
Exactly. And all we have to do is start out by, how can I be the face of Christ to someone?
And that's so important, Peter, because we want to see Jesus, but we can't see him the way the apostles did.
Right.
But people can only see Jesus through us and the way we live and what we do with our lives. Sister, you got to say something else.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the word of Jesus coming through each of you men who are filled with faith in Jesus and hearing his word through you.
Isn't it wonderful? You know, and we want to talk to the men out there who have dropped out. Hey, guys, don't you understand that this is not a religion for women? This is for men with the guts to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is alive in me, and I intend to tell others about it. I intend to evangelize others. I'm not going to sit back and just watch football on Sunday and drink beer. I'm going to come out and be alive.
So what Dr. Palmer's trying to say, real men love Jesus.
That's right.
And what Sister Joan is trying to say is, real women love Jesus.
You know, Monsignor Pigliosi, a friend of ours, pastor at St. Catherine of Siena, he changes the words to the Hail Mary.
And how, John?
Well, because there are so many times women go to church all the time, so now he says, blessed am I among women.
Yeah.
Don't tell Rick I said that. He'll come
gonna,
after me.
He's going to be listening. He's going to get a copy of the disc.
But, you know, the other part of the question for Catholics is the true presence in the Eucharist. I was asked many times, how are charismatic Catholics different than others, even though they have the same spirit? And the answer I give is, we're different because we believe, number one, in true presence in the Eucharist. Number two, we have a devotion to Mary. And number three, we're under the magisterium of the Church. Now, Eucharist, he really, truly is alive in that Eucharist. That's what we believe. And so my question is, how important is the Eucharist for you in your relationship with God? Oh, silence. I get so excited about receiving the Eucharist. Sometimes when I walk up the aisle, my heart is beating so rapidly inside, and I can't believe that. And for me, it's the center of my life. Unless I have Jesus in me to nourish me, as he does physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, I'm lost. I'm answering my own question. Put your hand there, Tony. You can't.
He never makes me talk, this guy.
Go ahead.
The Eucharist is the center of our religion. That's what Catholics are all about. The Eucharist, it's Jesus, is that we're able to receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he could be within us.
And it's not just a remembrance service. It's a miracle that takes place on the altar at every Mass. That's why every Mass is a healing Mass. because Jesus is alive there, and you can receive him so that his divinity can come into your body and mix with your humanity. What a marvelous, unbelievable thing. Impossibility, you know? But he's a God of impossibilities, and we happen to believe that. Sister?
For me, the Eucharist has always been important, precious, because I do believe that the Eucharist is Jesus, my Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ. That when Jesus comes to me in Eucharist, he comes to me from the first moment of his existence in Mary's womb. We just celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation Incarnation yesterday. From that first moment in his mother's womb to the very final moment before he returns to the Father at the time of the Ascension, and even now as the risen Jesus in heaven, I really do believe that Eucharist is Jesus. But there was a shift in my belief, and it came when I finally realized that the Word of God is an impossible word. A word that I could not possibly do on my own. And so, in the context of the Mass, I hear the Word of God, the impossible word, and I need Jesus to come into me himself. And when he comes, he says, I will do this word in you, but I need you to work with me through this day. Just like Joe, Peter said before, I need to find Jesus' face in everyone. I need to be the face and the heart of Jesus for everyone. But that's impossible for me. So Jesus says, I'll come into you myself, and I'll do it. But you bring your body there. You bring yourself there. You bring your feelings, your emotions, your passions, your gifts, your skills, your talents. Bring everything there, but let me do it. And that's what Eucharist is for me now. More than that, because I am the bride of Christ as a nun, when Jesus comes to me in Eucharist, it is my beloved, my lover who comes. In an embrace more intimate than any marital embrace could ever be. And that's what I need as a human person, as a woman, as the beloved one of Jesus Christ.
Well, guys, you have anything to add?
That was so beautiful, sister.
You know, Trevor, I'd like to play the next song now. I think we're ready for it, because we need time for people to digest those words. The next song is The Father and I Are One. So we're pushing you beyond Jesus, who said, if you see me, you see the Father. Put those words up loud, Trevor. We won't talk. It's part of our instruction.
You and I are one.
Meditation, you get still inside, and God speaks to your heart. And I hope he's open to hearts of the people who are listening. We have a section on our show called Healing, and we usually have a healer of a day, and we pray for all the people who are on our petitions, and we're going to do that. But the healer of the day is going to be telescoped quickly, because we're going to be running a little short on time. But I had planned to talk about Father Emiliano Cardiff. I've mentioned him before. He's a priest who had tuberculosis who didn't want to be prayed over by charismatics because he thought they were crazy. And they came to him in the hospital and prayed over him. And he said, okay, you can pray because I'm a priest. I can't say no. But would you please close the door? And he closed the door. He had tuberculosis in both lungs. They prayed over him. 3 days later, he was healed. And then he was given the gift of healing himself. And I have pages after pages from his books. And I was also healed by him of a rotator cuff problem that I had. At a meeting where there were 10,000 people. And I didn't go there for healing, but I got it. But I wanted to share one little story, and then we'll pray for those on who are on our petitions list. His first word of knowledge was, there's a woman here who's being cured of cancer. And she had a feeling of great heat in her womb. No one came forward. Ashamed to enter, the woman he spoke of, a prostitute, hid outside behind the fence. The next day she went to the mic, wept, and testified. Two operations had not worked. The healed prostitute told others. So many prostitutes were evangelized that 80% of Nagua's 500 houses of prostitution closed their doors. And brothels became houses of prayer. Nagua used to be a city of prostitutes, but now it's a city of prayer. By one man who refused to be prayed over and was knocked down like Paul and healed and became a healer himself. And I just want to emphasize that to those who are listening who may not want to be healed, who may enjoy the pain they're in, I don't know. But God will heal you even if you don't want to be healed. And that's so important for us to understand. You know, he's like John Wayne in a movie. He'll kick in the door to your heart, and he'll come in, and he'll touch you. So sit there, John Wayne. Sit there, cold hearts, and wait for John Wayne to kick in your heart. And we're going to pray for the people here who have sent petitions, and we'd ask everyone, just put your hands up, pray for them, be in touch. Lord Jesus, Trevor, could you put the music up just a little bit? And we thank you, Jesus, for being here. It's been a very powerful prayer, full mass show for me. It's almost like mass. I could feel the presence of God throughout. And Lord, we feel the presence here in the studio. And we hope that all those who are listening hear you, are touched by you, are filled with your love. So we're going to pray for the people who've been on our prayer list. And we have some confirmations of things that have happened, but Lord, we're not even going to spend time on that. We'll let you do all the confirmations that you want. There are people who are suffering from cancer, heart disease. A woman last night I prayed with had so many things going on. Her husband died just a few months ago, and she has MS, and her daughter was all upset as well. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray for them. And as always, we're praying for Liz, our friend, who has Chiari disease, who has had surgery, and is now home recovering. Lord, but we just ask you to enter into all these people. Last week after the show, after we prayed for Liz, you know, I wonder, I drove home and I'm saying, are you really working here, Lord? And I went over to St. Aidan's because I wanted to go to adoration, I wanted to go to confession. And I parked in a parking lot and was listening to the show, and a man knocked on my window, and the man was Liz's husband, who just happened to be there. And it was, I think, God's way of saying, you know, John, I know you wonder what's happening with these prayers, but I'm listening. I'm listening. And listen, this, he's here for you now. He's touching you now, giving you a special blessing. Father Tardif used in praying for healing, because I just use the ending of it. Today, O Lord, we lift up to you in faith all the sick who have asked us to pray for them. And we ask you to alleviate their illnesses and give them health. We ask you for the glory of our Heavenly Father that you heal the sick who are listening to this show. Grant that they may grow in faith and in hope, and that they may recover their health for the glory of your name, so that your kingdom may continue to be spread through the hearts of all human beings by the way of the signs and wonders of your love. All this we ask you, O Lord Jesus, because you are Jesus. You are the good shepherd, and we are all sheep in your flock. We are so certain of your love that even before we know the result of our prayer, we say to you in faith, thank you, Jesus, for what you are going to do into each listener. Thank you for the sick that you are healing at this moment and that you are visiting with your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are going to do through this program. From today, we place all that we do into your hands, and we ask that you dip into your holy wounds, and may you cover those wounds of those who are listening with your holy blood, so that through his message, the heart of the good shepherd may speak to the hearts of the many sick who are going to hear it. Glory and praise to you, Lord.
Believe that Mary is drawing close to persons who are particularly suffering from neurological diseases, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease. That in fact, even as you listen, your tremors are increasing. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, is drawing close to you. Mary looks up at her son Jesus, who is dying on the cross, who is pinned to the cross. His body too is in spasms of pain. His body too is trembling. And Mary takes the grace and healing from the tremors of Jesus and applies them to you. And you will find your tremors ceasing. And from Jesus on the cross, you will find the healing that you have longed for. Healing for your body, yes, and healing for your precious, precious spirit through Mary's prayer and help.
Amen. Amen. We have such a wonderful, wonderful sense of God's presence right here.
Absolutely.
We can feel His presence.
Absolutely.
You know, our God is an awesome God. And that's really what we want to finish our show with.
Absolutely.
He's an awesome God. Listen to Michael Smith. Let him into your heart now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Show that you are an awesome God to those listeners in pain. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Praise you. praise you, Lord.
Jesus, we pray.
He's an awesome God, folks.
Jesus knows.
He's an awesome God. I'm going to say, we'll see you next week, everybody. Don't forget Men's Ministry, April 16th, in Hicksville at Holy Family. Amen.
AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB.